Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Football and watch players, my best part was watching all the rookie quarterbacks play, because all of them played, and I really think all of them played well. I mean, I think all of them played well, and they showed themselves. You know, now it's only a couple series and everything like that, and they're ready to jump on the bandwagon saying this is a Hall of Fame performance. But I thought they all did really well in what they were asked to do in that game, in those games and everything. I mean, the worst part about the preseason and anything, Abe, I mean, I'm not one that, oh, God, he got hurt in the preseason. I mean, you get hurt anytime. He got hurt in practice and everything like that. So I think that's the one thing, the biggest takeaway from Miami is who came back injured. And you're talking about three serious injuries to two starters and a guy who was going to probably contribute a lot also. I mean, three guys that were going to contribute a lot. You said it earlier. I don't want to put out starters and all those things, but you come back and you're down three guys. And so that's the unfortunate thing about it.
These are three guys that in some shape, way, or form, you were counting on to participate this year. And so we will get into it. I'm kind of with you, and we're going to talk about the rookie quarterbacks when we get to the NFL No Huddle. But believe it or not, one stood out, and it wasn't the one I thought would be standing.
I know exactly who you're talking about, too.
We're going to get into that. We'll
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We've got a lot coming your way still. Jesse Bates, when they step off the practice field here, of course, Falcons safety and top-ranked safety in the NFL, according to Madden, is going to join us in a little bit. But, look, Friday was a tough watch, Randy. I'm not going to lie. And I built up my own anticipation for a variety of reasons.
Right.
You did get the Michael Penix thing, and we can break that down in a little bit. But Friday was a tough watch. It was slow. It was on TV. Like that's about as much as I can give you, to be honest. Like
it's the first preseason game. And I think just the way the game was called, I think a lot of it, the feel was really bad. I thought I saw a lot of slipping and everything like that. And that's a preseason feel. But I don't take too much out of it. I just love enjoying watching ball. But yeah, the action is going to slow down when you don't have all the good players in. I mean, that's just what it is. If you're expecting it to look like it's going to look against Pittsburgh, that wasn't going to be the case because you don't have all your good players out there playing in this game. And that was on both sides. You know, Miami didn't play anybody also. And so, that's how I looked at it from the standpoint of knowing what the deal was. They're not going to play. So my expectation of this game should not be how it's going to look on a regular Sunday in the NFL. Now, some of the other games you saw were better because a lot of the starting quarterbacks were playing. And then they were playing with their starting offensive line, their starting receivers. And so you saw a little bit more crispness. I thought Michael Penix was good. I did. I thought he was good, Abe. I thought the ball placement was there. My favorite throw was the when he went through his progression and came back and hit that backside dig. That was my favorite throw of the night from him. But, yeah, just the expectations. If you go in there thinking it's going to look like it's supposed to look on Sunday, then, yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
We don't need to break down the stats for Penix, but here's what they were. 9-16, 104 yards. He played five series. He led the offense to a touchdown in one drive and a field goal drive as well. Look, I think he overcooked a couple of throws.
Yeah.
I think that's to be expected. But, you know, it was almost kind of optimistic for me about him overthrowing a couple guys. That was the mistakes he made were all overthrows. Like, we came off of a year where balls were overthrown, underthrown, thrown to the wrong shoulder. I mean, the fact that you can dial in on here's what happened on these throws that you missed, and you can work at it. You just want to see rookies look like they belong, right? And again, we saw a number of rookies that did look like they belong. I would say one maybe a little bit more iffy than the rest.
Yeah, I mean even the people in Miami turned on the TV to see Michael Penix.
Yeah,
you know they did. Everybody, I mean, you got a first round quarterback, and then no other notable player that you were probably off the top of your head, unless you deep dive in this team. I'm talking about from the other team. You don't know any of those guys, but you knew who Michael Penix was, and he really went out there again. Five series, touchdown, field goal, so he's out there getting points and things like that. But I think that when you look at the overview of the whole game, it was sloppy. It was a sloppy. It was a lot of guys first time out there playing in the National Football League, and there's a lot of guys out there that are not going to be on this team when both of these teams kick off week one. So, I mean, that's, just expect the performance based on the players themselves that are out there.
Just want to set the stage on what we know so far. Obviously, Rondale Moore was placed on season-ending IR. Yeah. Braylon Trice, earlier today, it was announced.
He had a rough damn trip. You get sick when you get there. And then you go out there, and it's just unfortunate that he goes down, man. It just sucks.
So it was an ACL injury. Right. It's going to be season-ending for him. Now, DeMarco Helms is interesting because they have not necessarily told us a timeline for him, which makes us believe, or at least makes me believe, that it is not necessarily season-ending.
Right.
I think certainly they know what the injury is, and they're building their own timeline, but they haven't announced it yet. So a lot of people are starting to maybe build a little bit of optimism. Certainly going to miss a couple weeks, but hopefully it's not bad for him. I know a lot of people you see that air boot come on, you see the cart, and you start. Every time I see a cart, I'm like, that's it. That's the year. And unfortunately for Trice, that was the case. Hopefully not for Helms. But
no. When I see the air cast, we talked about that on Friday when Moore went down. It's like, it's never a good sign when they have the cart and the air cast out there. And by them not placing him on season-ending IR, I still think that he is in listening to Rod talked this morning. I was looking at some of the quotes from his presser this morning. He said significant time. So, I mean, is that a month? Is that 6 weeks, 8 weeks? I don't know what it is, but he is not going to be back in time for the season.
No, he's certainly going to miss the opener. Yeah. So they have made a couple of moves, the Falcons. We talked about Jakeem Grant, wide receiver and return specialist. Nathan Rourke, the backup quarterback, is now out. They brought John Paddock back in, so more respect to Paddock after how Raheem handled that comment there. But he is back in, and Heinicke is still hanging on right there too. Not a great game for him.
No, it was not.
I don't know. I still think that there's one team that makes sense for Heinicke above all the others, and so we'll see how this plays out. One guy that did make an impact here, and I was concerned is not the right word. Interested and intrigued is probably what I'd call it, Randy. Is we talked about Zach Harrison, and we talked about him potentially being built to have a big year.
Right.
That was before I learned that he was bulking up and being moved inside.
Right.
And I start to have questions. They obviously think they see something, potential there. How's it going to look? How's it going to work? Where does he fit in the rotation? He gets on the field, though, and flashes a couple times, including on the interception, which was an early throw forced by the pressure that he was out there. So it was a pretty good game there for Zach Harrison.
I think Zach is going to be the third D tackle right now, third guy inside behind Grady and David. To me, that's what it seems like, the rotation.
He's going to leap TQ, I guess, if we want to call it that.
I think so. I think that this kid, and he talked about it. I don't know if we ever mentioned it, but I think earlier on in the offseason, he was talking about bulking up because they wanted to move him more and let him play more inside. And so, I mean, the dude has all the, freakish talent, athleticism, and all those different things. You got to get the experience to go out there and play.
Long arms.
He's a big kid, man. And it's not like, how Grady and David are a bit more squatty type player. He's a big defensive lineman. I'm not saying he's Richard Seymour anybody, but he's built like Big C. He's not as big as C, but he's has the frame to be as big as Big C. And so, yeah, when you got a guy like that, because we've been talking about, the workload for different players, and mainly on the defensive line, Grady Jarrett, because when you take him off the field, you can tell when he's not on the field. And so if you can find a way to get Grady some rest and allow him to be fresher at the end of the season, then – you know, then you'll have him playing at a higher level instead of wearing down. Him playing 60 plays a game can go down to maybe playing 48 plays a game or something like that. But it's got to be those 12 plays that he's off the field, you got to be productive. And hopefully this kid can go in there and do that.
And Grady, for what it's worth, I don't know how much you guys talked about it last week. Grady got some pretty high praise about what he was doing in the Miami practice.
He was
a problem for Miami, which coming off the injury, you never know until it gets out there, but it was nice to hear. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up, we will tell you what's trending. A little bit more on the Atlanta Falcons. I guess we have to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves. I left my father's house yesterday, 8-2.
Right.
And by the time I got home, it was not 8-2 anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll have to talk about that. I'll put a wrap on the Olympics as well. A lot coming your way still. Just hour number one here on the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
These preseason games are tough. You know, we talk about them every year. This is the reason why you try to play as least amount of people as you can. You know, obviously, DeMarco being a second-year player, you want to give him a little bit of action. He gets hurt really early. And then, obviously, having Trice as a rookie, you want to give him some action as an NFL professional player. And those things come back to bite you at times. It almost makes you not want to. But you know the cost of doing business. You got to make those decisions, and those are heavy on you all the time.
It was Falcons head coach Raheem Morris speaking earlier this morning here at the facility at Flowery Branch. And again, Braylon Trice and also defensive back Harrison Hand placed on season-ending IR. No real timeline announced yet for DeMarco Helms, but at the moment doesn't appear to be season-ending, but certainly Raheem did say he would miss a good amount of time, some serious time here on the season. And look, if it's up to Raheem Morris, Randy, sounds like he wouldn't play anyone if he had the ability to not throw anyone out there.
Yeah, I mean, but he's right about certain things, you know. And I think we mentioned it on Friday because a lot of people were like, well, Patrick Mahomes plays, so why shouldn't you play in all those games? It's just different philosophies for different teams. That's just how they
view it. Were you surprised how many QB1s played?
No.
I mean, Burrow and Mahomes, Josh Allen.
I wasn't surprised at all because – I know that Andy, that's what he believes in. He plays his guys.
Yeah.
He always has. He plays his guys. And so, no, I wasn't surprised at all by all of the, you know, the guys that went out there and played and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's always a difficult thing because it's one of those situations, Abe, where, okay, your team looks rusty or in the first opening game doesn't play well. What, they should have played in the preseason? What if they get hurt in preseason? Why is he playing? Because it's preseason. Like, you can't have it both ways. And I heard a lot of damn whining about that this weekend.
Yep.
Of that right there. Either you don't play them or you play them, but football is a contact sport. Football is one of those things where you can't not go out, put a player out there and don't think it's a possibility he gets injured. It's just what it is. And so it's just unfortunate. I mean, Helms, it was kind of friendly fire. You know, the leg whipped around, his teammate hit him, and, you know, it's friendly fire and everything. But, yeah, I don't know if that means with these guys hurt, if this changes Ross playing for the preseason for his players, I don't know how that goes because you lost three guys. Do you look at it from a standpoint where, I can't put the – well, we know Kirk's not playing.
Right.
But can I put these other guys out there?
I don't think any of them are playing.
And then that's how you view it.
I don't think any of those guys are playing anytime soon.
Right.
I think the list of the
guys –
That's
what I said. Do you think it's changed because of what happened in Miami, or was this the plan the whole time?
This was the plan the whole time. I don't think Kirk was ever going to play.
I know that. We know that.
I don't think Bijan is ever going to
play.
I don't think Pitts or London were ever going to go. I don't think Grady was ever going to play, and I keep going down the list. Now, the linebackers, maybe I could have seen them getting some action, but I don't think any of these guys are going to play. And quite frankly, I mean, it's two non-contact injuries. When you're talking about Rondale Moore and Braylon Trice, one of them did happen on the practice field. And the Braylon Trice one, wrong place, wrong time, I guess, in terms of we blame the preseason game on that injury, but that's an injury that can happen at any point in the build up to the season, and so you're always going to have to deal with that stuff. At least the way I look at it. But if those guys were going to play, based on what he said now, I don't think so.
No, they don't look like it, but you never know. You never know because you do want to get your guys some kind of game live reps and everything. I don't know because they're playing Baltimore this week. They're not practicing against Baltimore.
There's no more joint practices.
Okay, so in that case, then you just got to, just go into the season and hopefully, because the one thing about the transition from the preseason to the season is the fact that the numbers are down to 47
the roster
guys.
Numbers, yeah.
And then you got to get a point where you got to play all the plays. Yeah, and that was always the one thing about it is like, and I would be, from experience, it's coming from playing a total of maybe 25 plays in the preseason and going into a first game and you're playing 75 play. It takes its toll on you and everything before you get yourself acclimated to be able to play all those plays. And so with the depth down, you're going to have to go out there and play. So hopefully, and these guys, they've been playing, it's not a lot of rookies that's never been in an NFL game before, Abe. So they'll know what to do and everything. It's just, getting your body acclimated to playing all those plays. Because you can only simulate so much in practice. It's
right.
That right there.
It's not necessarily fair to put this on Raheem, other coaches have done.
Right.
But we've also sat here and watched this Falcons team not look ready week one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a situation where that is something we look for in that first game. Because of your first three, that feels, at least to me, like the most winnable. And if you're not ready to go week one, you're going to have all these questions. And that's why I found all of this discussion about get rid of the preseason entirely real confusing, because I think there are teams that benefit so much more than
and
others.
Players.
Specifically, young players you talked about. If you're a rookie quarterback, even Michael Penix, who is a rookie quarterback, whatever you see in college is not what it looks like in the pros.
No.
And to be able to adjust to that speed and get ready. And again, we're benefiting here in Atlanta that Michael Penix isn't being asked to come in immediately and start, which is not the case in four or five other cities, depending on who wins quarterback jobs. Those guys have to play. They have got to see what it looks like before it matters.
Yeah, you got to see the looks. You got to see, and everything is pretty much base and very, very scaled down. Because the one thing you want as a young player, you want him to just go play fast, and not be having to think out there. So you can put your best, your best tape out there as far as him going and not, overreacting to something that you tried to put in that you probably won't, put in unless it's a game plan type situation. You try to make it as simple and vanilla as possible for them so they can just read and react and go. But, yeah, that's always going to be the thing about the preseason. And it's always where you look at it from, okay, if they're rusty, they should have played more. Well, if they get hurt, then, why did he have them out there in the preseason? It's just going to be like
both.
That to the end of time.
It's always going to be both. You're absolutely right. Again, Nathan Rourke has been released. The Falcons did bring back John Paddock, who was here in the first week, first couple of days of training camp, and then they made that switch. That one kind of caught me off guard, if we're going to be honest. Like, I just thought that they were eventually going to trade Heinicke, and Rourke is going to be QB3, and that's where it goes. But
That's the kid that threw all the yards at Canada or something, right? Rourke. Didn't Rourke throw for a bunch of yards or something? Or accomplished player? They were talking. I don't know. But, this whole tight. I mean, Heinicke, he did not look good in the scrimmage. And can you attest that to the grouping that he was playing with, a lot of young players?
I mean, that's what his agent's going to do when they start talking trades.
And he better do that. And because I think Heinicke is a – is a capable backup in this league. And I don't know how they're going to go about this, because right now we've talked about it Friday. This is – Michael Penix is the number two quarterback. I know we came into this training camp not knowing if, say, for instance, something – God forsaken happens to Kurt, would they go with Heineke or would they go with the Rook? But then we were like, well, if it happens in the game, they'll put in Heineke. No, if Michael Penix is the clear-cut number two quarterback on this football team no matter what. And so that's where you're at with that. As far as the whole Heineke thing, I mean, if anything's going to happen, I think it's going to happen close to the season as far as him being moved or something like that. So there really is no rush to move him as of right now. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, Randy, we talked about this. It was my birthday yesterday.
It was.
And so I hosted a show, and then I went home, walked Chipper, and then I went to my dad's house.
Right.
My grandma's there and a couple other people, and you know, we're watching the Braves game as it develops, and I see Jorge Soler hits a 3-run home run. You start to separate.
Yeah,
it goes from 3-2 to now 6-2. I think Olsen drived in Austin Riley after that. Now it's 7-2. I think Soler hit another solo later in the game. And he's starting to heat up. And
yes,
we will talk about a little bit of good later in the show. I leave the house, and it's 8-2. And I get home. I do a little bit of work. I grab Chipper for the nighttime walk. And you talked about it. I've always got my phone on me. And I pull up Twitter as I start walking Chipper. And I see the Rockies are now 419. I don't know what the number was. But 2-whatever coming from down 6-plus runs in the 8th inning. And I just sat there. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I cannot believe in that moment they blew this game.
That was a damn debacle. Let's just call it. It was a damn debacle. And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? And I know everybody wants me to go off with a certain guy. What about the new 77? He was raggedy as hell, too. I mean, they were all – it was just such a raggedy – and it's crazy because
– Is it?
It was crazy because all this last week when we talked about all the stuff that happened in the Brewer series, like, is this rock bottom and all those other things?
Well,
the previous game, I mean, they played, the bats came alive, 11 runs. Matt Olson was like, he was mashing. And then for this to happen the way it did. Now, if you lose 9-8, whatever. But to lose the way they lost in that 8th inning was garbage. It was garbage. Bitch. And that's why I said, are we at rock bottom now? Because that was just a
– we're going to have that discussion
later. It made
later.
No sense to me that you're like, okay. And then I watched Snit, his presser after the game.
Do you want to hear what he had to say?
I want to hear what he had to say, but the face that he was making when he was saying it was like, God almighty, fellas.
Resting Snit face?
Yes. Like,
okay. Snit says team almost got out of this game with a win, though.
No, they didn't.
They need one more out in the eighth. That's tough. I mean, because, you know, you do play a good ball game and everything goes well, and then in the span of about 30 minutes, it just blew up.
I'm not mad at Snit. I'm not. But find a way to get that one hour out. Like, don't come here and tell us, like, the rules of baseball.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Find a way to get out, man.
What was he supposed to do? He put these guys out here to go get the damn job done. And they didn't do their freaking job. That's exactly what happened.
I don't understand. There's starting to become a little bit of blowback here on Snit.
As far as
just the city and people asking questions about how much of this is his fault.
What blame do you place on him?
None.
Oh, okay. I was curious. I was like,
lost an MVP.
Yes.
You lost the prohibitive favorite and front runner for Cy Young.
Yes.
You've had you lost an All-Star in Ozzie Albies, who's been out. You lost the former Rookie of the Year, Michael Harris, and we'll talk about him possibly coming back soon, who's been out. You've lost a number of other people. Guys who overperformed in previous years, which, by the way, you did give credit to that for Snit, so I guess maybe a little bit there, but Bryce Elder didn't perform. Orlando Arcia hasn't performed, stuff like that.
Correct.
But there's enough that's gone wrong that it is well beyond Snit's control.
Well, this is a total team foul, though. And you, because the one thing about it is that you can go to Alex didn't do this at the trade deadline.
Well, there's the other thing.
These
is the 2021 running back is not working either.
Is Snit, like, is he like trying too hard to get these pitchers rest and all those other – there's been question marks about everybody in the organization. That's why it's just going to put – and I just talk about me. I'm going to put it on the entire organization has just not gotten it done.
And it's frustrating
because, like you just said, you labeled out what you don't have. But what you do have is you still have players that are capable of you know.
And the ones you do have not been good enough. And Austin Riley, right, over the course of the year, has not been good enough. Matt Olson has not been good enough.
Where we expect him
Michael
to be.
Harris, before he got hurt, was not
well.
Good enough.
He wasn't
and
playing
so,
well.
You've got that. Olympics, they come to a close. The men, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but the gold medal basketball game was outstanding. The women's gold medal basketball game was outstanding.
Dude, I got home right at halftime of that game. I got home right at halftime of the game, and I was like, whoa, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you see these young ladies. They play physical as hell overseas in FIBA basketball. And I was just like, they weren't giving them any breathing room and all those things. And then Asia got hot. Asia started it started with her own defense. I was like, did y'all not see her when y'all were going for that layup? Like, she's sending stuff up out of there, man. And then for the game to come down the way it did, and young lady, Gabby Williams, foot's on the line, and it was – I mean, what a shot.
Former American high jumper, Gabby Williams.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was 16. Yeah. She competed at the U.S. Trials.
Yep. And, I mean, that shot she hit was just unbelievable, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's no replay. There's no debate. Yeah. It's clearly over the line. The game ended. That's what it was. USA ties with China in terms of the total gold medals. Right. USA much more bronze and silver as well. So they won the medal count going away. But tied with China for number one in gold medals. Needed the cycling on Sunday and then the women's basketball to get that done. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we come back, I'm going to pop outside, see if practice has ended. We should hopefully be joined by Atlanta Falcons safety Jesse Bates. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Midday Show, Abe Gordon.
Slow down, dog.
When he said you're live, I just heard in my head and I went going. I just started. I know.
Are you anxious and everything? You got the birthday boy. So what are you? Are you 40 yet?
No, next year.
Oh, see, 39.
You have to do something useful next year, I suppose.
39 years old.
Yeah.
Years young.
40 is going to be a tough one, from a mental aspect.
Why?
It feels older. 39 is like, you know, 40 feels pretty.
40 is a cooler number than 39, though.
If you were a safety, which number would you prefer, 39 or 4? I don't know if they can even wear 40.
I think we're.
Can
I would think, well.
I'd rather wear 39, right?
Who wears 39? Mika? Don't Mika wear 39 or 29? He's one of them numbers with a 9 on it. But as we get ready to host.
Oh, there he is.
Falcons All-Pro safety, Jesse Bates walks in. What's going on, family? How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Jesse? Good to see you, man. Appreciate you joining us here. Obviously, back in town from a couple of days out there in Miami, preseason, but also the joint practices before that. I just start with the overall scope of things, all 3-4 days, however long you guys are out there, and how did it feel to be kind of on the road with the team for a couple of days and then deal with what you dealt with in game?
Yeah, it's nice to go out there. It's nice, you know, to get away, especially when you're on the beach. I mean, that probably helps a little
did
bit.
Did you go down to the beach?
We were staying in Fort Lauderdale Beach, so it's right
okay,
across
right
the street.
There, okay.
It's only right that you go put your feet in the sand
a little bit
during the downtime. But I thought we had some good work out there with Miami. You know, they got a lot of guys in that receiving core. Some of them didn't practice, which kind of sucked. You kind of wish that you can kind of get those looks. But, you know, it's always good to go against another team, another, you know, offense. Trying to attack you a different way, you know, rather than just keep on going against our guys. It's nice to switch it up a little bit and see how, you know, our defense is doing, you know, live reps and not of it just being scripted from, you know, coaches. So some good work there for sure.
How's this transition to a new defense been? Because obviously last year the D.C. is not here anymore, and Jimmy's in here now. How is it different? Is your role going to be any different from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think it'll be very similar. You know, we did a lot of good things on defense last year. I think when Jimmy came on, he said he watched the tape, and we did a lot of good things. And I've been a part of, you know, different defensive coordinators and stuff like that. It's just different terminologies. You don't really change up, you know, different ways to play cover three, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's just
right.
different terminology and different, you know, checks and stuff like that that you got to learn. But very similar defense, maybe a little bit more exciting for the back end. But, you know, we'll see. I can't say too much, but excited to continue to put it on tape and continue to stack days.
Okay, because I always have fun with you because I was out there a couple of last week when you intercepted with Kurt, mm-hmm. and then also obviously in the I think it was the Houston game, and I call you undercutting Jesse. All right, another guy said, "Hey, don't run that dig because Jesse's going to cut it."
And I saw two of them against Carolina,
and for the most part, he's right. What is it about your film study that allows you to be there? Because now you're playing against. I know you played against Kurt when he was in Minnesota. You were and you were in Cincinnati. But what is it like out there now with trying to play chess with a guy like Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, you know, I told people when Kirk Cousins came here that he was going to make our whole football team a better at everything we do. Just because you know he's seen everything, and as a defensive guy, as a safety, that you know we're kind of playing a cat and mouse game with each other, showing them different looks and. Yeah, it feels good when you make a play against, you know, a 12-year-old, you know, veteran and going out there and seeing it, not just from my perspective, but for our whole defensive group. There's not going to be a lot of guys that can go through a process how Kirk Cousins can. And just so that'll challenge us throughout, you know, training camp. But, yeah, just continue to stack days. And, yeah, when we can undercut and cut up some digs and be aggressive, that's what we need. That's what we got to do. So just continuing that.
Atlanta Falcons safety Jesse Bates joining us. And a lot has been made about this relationship with Kirk Cousins and you guys watching film together and being beneficial as you both. How did it get to this point? Like, mm-hmm. how did it develop from, okay, he's officially signed on the team yep. to where you guys are kind of taking your own time and doing this thing that you hope can parlay itself into something special for both sides of the ball?
Yeah, you know, it's just continue to get to know each other. I think that's the biggest thing what OTAs was about, was getting to know who people are in the locker room, getting to, you know, match names with faces. And then, you know, you get to closer to training camp, I think the urgency starts to pick up. So it's like, hey, let's why not go watch some film? And, you know, Kirk is a guy that is not just, you know, better in himself. He wants to get everybody better. So just being able to open that door, you know, hey, I'm watching film at 7 in the morning, meet me here kind of thing. And it's just something that we're going to continue to build on because, like I said, there's not a lot of guys in this league that can, you know, process the game how he can. And, you know, quarterbacks aren't being told differently than what Kirk Cousins knows. So it's good to know that knowledge and for him to, you know, pass that along for not just me but anybody.
Who asks more questions in these sessions, him of you or you of him?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, he's always asking, what does this mean? And I'm like, what does this mean? And it's kind of foreign to both of us, but it kind of confirms, you know, what – all the preparation that you put in, you kind of know what they're looking at, but you to understand it and hear it from a guy that's doing it is a whole another, you know, game changer. So it's nice to have a guy, like I said, a true leader that's going to impact not just that offense but our defense and our whole team.
How's the team different this year? Last year you came over, obviously free agent, big free agent signing for them. You played the 1 year without having to badmouth or say this, mm-hmm. this is – how is it different this year, this summer, with Rod and his new staff coming in?
Yeah, you know, every year is different. Last year was my first year here, getting adjusted and getting to know who people were. But I think that we got a lot more, you know, juice, a little bit more urgency about where we want to be. I feel like last year – it's kind of like, oh, we're so close. All that stuff's out the door now. It's just simply, hey, we got to outrun the South. And that's by doing that, you can't just get that done today. So that's just every single day in, day out, whether that's a meeting, whether that's a lift, whether it's practice, figuring out a way that we can kind of separate ourselves. And, you know, just excited to go, you know, put it on tape when we go and play at home in the Mercedes-Benz versus the Steelers. So, you know, can't say too much, like I said.
Whoa. You said the Steelers, right? Don't you have Baltimore?
I'm just talking week one right now. But, yeah, very, very excited for the season. You know, we got a special team and excited to continue to build, like I said.
How different is this for you when you have so many defensive back guys in elevated coaching positions? Obviously, you got Jimmy Lake. He's worked with mm-hmm. the defensive backs for a long time. Yep. And then certainly Raheem, that, you know, that's how he came up as well. Is it? Are you guys getting extra benefit because there's so many guys that have done so much in regards to coaching DBs?
Yeah, you know, Ra always pokes his head in there. I always make fun of Ra. I'm like, hey, Ra, I think you're changing to an offensive coach nowadays. And he pops his head in our defensive meeting rooms. And just to hear from multiple, you know, different guys, it's all the same stuff, but just hearing their perspective, you know, Ra's been a part of it. Jimmy Lake has, you know, Coach Gray's played it, you know what I'm saying? He's been coaching it for 20-plus years. Coach Hood, is very, you know, very good. So there's always strengths and weaknesses of, you know, whether it's a player, whether it's coaching. I mean, there's OG that knows all the route concepts and, you know, all of this. And then you got Jay Hood, who's super detailed on practice. So just being able to bounce off each other, I think they do that very well. And just continue to be a lifetime learner and just continue to help some of these young guys get up to pace. And so, yeah, it's just always good to have, you know, multiple DB guys in there that can explain it and, you know, see it from different perspectives, but kind of make it all look through the same lens as a defense.
What about, you know, obviously you're a very important, vital part of what they want to do defensively. Offensively, the guy that we talked about so far has been Kyle Pitts. How has he looked to you? Because he looks, to me, from watching him from last year to this year, looks like he's refreshed, feeling healthy and everything. And you get to go against him being a safety a lot. How has that been this summer matching up with Kyle?
Yeah, you see Kyle, last year, I feel like he was kind of still coming off his injury. And this year, I mean, he's kind of just letting it go. And I feel like Ra has pushed him, has held him accountable to get to that point as well. So I'm just excited. I've known Kyle before he even got drafted here. And to watch him, you know, come back from that injury and watch the way he's worked this offseason, it's definitely going to pay off. And then, like I said, I keep talking about Kirk Cousins, the way Kirk Cousins can affect the way Kyle, his daily habits, the daily process. I think that'll help him as well.
Chatting with the NFL's top-rated safety, according to Madden. How much does that stuff matter to you? No, I was speaking with Chris Lindstrom a couple of days ago at the Mercedes-Benz practice, and I asked him kind of a similar question. When you see these ratings or top 100 lists, rankings, stuff like that, obviously it doesn't matter a ton, but it's got to be a little bit of a nice gratification that others around the league or who cover the league are really noticing what your abilities are on the field, how you impact this team here in Atlanta, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's always good. You know, you work so hard, and you sacrifice so much time away from your family. So, yeah, it's pretty cool when my nephews and one day my son can just get on a video game. I'm top safety guy. But all that stuff, you know, as an individual, as a you know, a leader of this team, you know, that stuff happened last year. All that stuff is based off last year, and this is what this business is. It's a results-based business, and it's what have you done for me now. So being able to accept that, all the accolades and stuff like that, and then flush it away, and it's a whole new year, and you got to go do it over and over again. I think that's when you can take that next step from good to great, and that's what my mindset has been. You know, it's pretty cool when, you know, your grandma, you know, and your aunts, and like I said, my nephews send me that stuff. It's always cool. You know, you're doing something right if you're getting some type of recognition through, you know, your peers. So like I said, it's just something that is cool, but you got to flush it and go do it all over again.
Last one for me. I know when you came in, you had those leadership qualities that everybody always talks about and everything like that. But the guy, when you got here, the leader of the defense was Grady.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
Yep.
Obviously, not having him last year, he's just that heart and soul player. How has it been, and what the energy is like when 97's back out there?
Yeah, you know, Grady's been doing it for a long time, and you know, people look, you know, when stuff goes wrong, when stuff is good, people look to Grady for answers. You know, so instead of it just being me at times, it's nice to, hey, Grady, maybe I need you for today. Maybe I need you to break it down for us today. And I know what he's done in this league is respected as well, and you can just see him, his presence out there, and just the way he fits the run, the way he can translate to a pass rush. People respect that, and the more that we can speak and the more that leaders can take this team by the horns, I think that'll be helpful for us to continue to be successful here in Atlanta.
Just wanted to wrap things up for me here. Jesse Bates, Atlanta Falcons safety, joining us. Now that you do have one preseason game under the belts, did today's practice anything new, anything change now that you've got one heading into the second one, or kind of a lot of what you were doing last week?
There's a lot to learn from, you know, guys being out there and playing live football. There's a lot to learn on the tape, and I don't think there's nothing's changed. Nothing has changed throughout this week coming back to Flowery Branch besides sleeping in our own beds. But, you know, just going at it at practice, these are the dog days of practice where, you know, stuff can start to get a little bit repetitive and, you know, we're going against each other, but you still got to find a way to get better. And that's where I think our leaders on this team have to step up and make sure that they're holding people accountable, and we can, like I said, continue to stack days, stack meetings, stack practice, so we can, you know, someday go run the South and, you know, get a home playoff game And after that, go to the Super Bowl in Vegas.
Well, you know how it feels.
Yeah, y'all know how it goes.
You know how it feels.
I keep on going.
Yeah, you know how it feels.
But, you know, our focus is here right now in Flowery Branch and getting ready for the second preseason game.
Sounds good, man. Sounds
Jesse,
good.
Thanks so much for the time, man. Absolutely. Really appreciate
help
it.
Appreciate y'all.
When we come back, we will stick with the preseason discussion, talk a little bit in the NFL No Huddle. I also want to let you know, there is a killer comedy show coming up here in Atlanta at the Fox Theater in mid-September.
Oh, yeah.
If you're caller number six, you want to play this game? Have you heard of these guys? Caller number six right now will win a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries.
Yeah.
And special guest Mark Norman.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan Soder.
Whoa.
Yeah, so check that out.
That's a treat right there,
absolutely,
baby.
Absolutely. That's a great trio. Jim Jeffries, Mark Norman, Dan Soder. That's Saturday, September 14th at the fabulous Fox Theater. Caller number six right now. If you are not caller six, tickets are on sale at foxtheater.org. So a great show there. A very strong trio of comedians coming here to Atlanta. All right, when we come back, 1 hour down, hour number two on the way. We'll get you all set up. The NFL No Huddle on the other side. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bucker on the Midday Show with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.